Turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female. To keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just come before you right now, Lord, as we open up your word and read of this account and all that takes place here. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just reveal to us what you'd have us to know this morning. Have us understand this morning. Have us see from the scripture this morning. We commit it to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, November, as we've just heard, is that time of Thanksgiving. And we look forward to Thanksgiving Day, right? Thanksgiving Day, there's just about in pretty much every household, there's a feast. Wouldn't you call it a feast? You know, all year long, you go through the whole year, and lunchtime is one of those meals that you kind of just have. And I know, as in regard to myself, lunchtime for me is very simple the majority of the year. The other day, I sat down and, now listen, don't anybody come up and tell me about diet or restriction or eating healthy. But the other day I sat down for lunch and I said, what am I going to have for lunch? Well, here's your pastor's lunch the other day. Crackers, sharp cheddar cheese that's been aged for 4 years, and some red pepper jelly to put on. And I just sat down. Oh, and some soda. Birch beer soda, the old-fashioned stuff. And I sat down for about a half an hour, and I just enjoyed myself. But it was very basic. I mean, you got crackers, you got cheese, you got some pepper jam relish and some soda. Very basic. And then all of a sudden you come to Thanksgiving, and you say, where do we begin? Where do we start? Now, I know you have to start back here, and you go, but, I mean, from the hors d'oeuvres to the feast, and then the desserts, and then the coffee so that you can go back and, you go back and have seconds and thirds, and then the desserts, and you have a cup of coffee, and then you come back an hour later and say, what's all these desserts still doing here? And you have more desserts. You know, that's kind of like where we're at in our study of the book of Genesis this morning. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and the last 2 weeks we just look at simple, plain statements that were made. Like Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Simple statement, concise. And yet when we dig into it, there's so much there, but just a simple statement. And then last week we looked at Lamech. Lamech had a son in Genesis chapter 5. Lamech had a son, and verse 29, he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. And we've been just going along, and there's been simple statements, and yet they're so good. I mean, a simple statement like Enoch walked with God, that's like sitting down with cheese and crackers and some Pepsi and some pepper jam relish, and just, you can feast on that. But then all of a sudden we come to Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, and all of a sudden There's a feast before us. I mean, I just want you to consider the pressure I've been under this week in regard to this passage of Scripture. Where do you begin when you start speaking about Noah and the ark? Where do you focus? Where do you begin? What, now, are we going to, listen, this morning, are we going to go all through Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9? We're going to be here for a while. Right? In Genesis 6, you have all the details. And all of a sudden, we have all the details about how Noah was supposed to build this ark. What type of wood and how big. And then in Genesis chapter 7, not only is there details about building the ark, but then about everything that is brought into the ark. Not only animals two by two, but animals of seven for sacrifices. And then all the food and all the storehouse and everything else. We could go into depth about the details of building the ark. We could go into depth of detail about all that was taking place in getting into the ark. And then you look and they're in this ark. And the flood, we could spend all our time talking about the details of the flood. Or we could spend all our time speaking about how long they lived in this ark. It was a year. And what took place then. And we could look at all the details. And this week I was just reading it over and over and over again. All the things about the ark. And then the Lord brought me back to one verse. The key verse that we miss so many times in the account of Noah and the flood. Because you see right there, when we speak of this account, when we speak of this story, our focus, even in, by way of introduction, is it's about Noah. It's about the ark. It's about something greater than that. Something that God wants us to see this morning. That without that which we're going to see this morning, we would be without hope. And without this statement that we're going to look at this morning, Noah would have been without hope. And without this statement, the whole world is without hope. And the statement, and it's beautiful because it's God's word and God draws our attention to this one statement. And it's found in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, the first seven verses, we have God speaking to us and telling us why he was going to bring a flood. You come down to verse number 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for repenteth me that I have made them. And then you read Genesis 5 and 6, or Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, with the story of the ark and how Noah and his family would go into the ark and they'd be saved from the destruction of the flood. But my friend, none of that would have happened. None of that would have happened in Noah's life. The ark would not have happened. Noah's deliverance would not have happened if it were not for one simple statement. Verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a little thing that as we begin to look at Noah and what took place in that flood in the ark, that God says, here's what I want you to get out of it. Here's where I want you to start your understanding. Here's where I want you to start to think about Noah and the ark and the flood. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, you go through the Bible and so many times things are happening, life is going on, and all of a sudden you see the intervening hand of God. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, we looked at Joseph, and Joseph is thrown into prison. And then there's a simple phrase, but the Lord was with Joseph. You can look at the Israelites as they're escaping out of Egypt. God's delivering them out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea. And when it's all said and done, it says, but the Israelites crossed over on dry land. You can go to the book of Daniel, and you can see three men and Daniel in there. Daniel's brought before the king, and the king says, if you don't interpret this dream, tell me this dream and interpret this dream, you're all going to be slain. One of my favorite verses. But there is a God in heaven. Daniel responds. He says, I can't do that. I can't tell you the dream. I can't reveal the meaning of the dream. But there's a God in heaven that can not only tell me the dream, but he'll tell me the meaning of the dream. You can go over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, some of the early church, they're thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, and they're persecuted for the gospel, and then it's, but the angel of the Lord opens up the doors of the prison. But you know, some of the greatest verses that speak of the intervention of God point us to the grace of God. Romans chapter 6. But where sin did abound, even much more did grace abound. And when we read the account of Noah, if we read the whole story of Noah, and we look at all the details, and we think of all the animals and all the facts and all the details, and we start studying out, and we miss the point that God has for us. We miss the whole lesson. Paul says, there, but by the grace of God, go I. And this morning, I want us to think of the whole story of Noah and the ark. We're not going to read every verse. We're not going to read all the details. But I want you to consider this morning. I want us to think about the very grace of God as we see in the story of Noah and the ark. And as it pertains to you and me in this day in which we live. You know, we could go to another story, another account in the Bible. It's Esther, the book of Esther. And when you read the book of Esther, you can read all about that amazing story and how because of Haman's wickedness, all the Jews were going to be killed. And then there's this Queen Esther who goes to the king and all of a sudden, things have turned around and Haman is hung and the Jewish people, once again, are preserved and survive. And in that book, there's no mention of God. But God is, he's there. And even though God is not mentioned, even though the word grace is not mentioned in the book of Esther, it's the story, once again, of God's grace. And the reason I want to point this out to you this morning is because, as we'll see in a minute, we're saved by God's grace. And we'll look at that in a moment. But the other thing I want you to see is that all throughout our life, as children of God, saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, so many times we go through a day and we don't even stop to consider that it was God's grace that brought me through even this day. We run to the throne of grace for mercy and help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And we can run. And God says, come to my throne of mercy and grace. And you'll find help in time of need. But what we need to remember is even when the day seems to be going smooth, even when there's no storm raging, even when it's a day just like today, beautiful temperature, the sun is shining, the autumn colors are still there. What a beautiful day. Every day of our life is dependent, thankfully, upon the grace of God. The grace of God. This morning, I want us to see three things. First of all, we're going to see the consideration of God's grace. Second of all, we'll see the continuation of God's grace. And third, I want us to see the completion of God's grace. All right, you got those? Don't need to write those down anymore, right? You got that? Everybody got your notes? Good. Now I can preach. But first of all, the consideration of God's grace. That's where we start. In verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes. This is where it all starts, folks. And when we look at Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7, I want us to see two things about this consideration of grace. And sometimes we fail to miss, or we miss this. Let me ask you a question. When we think of the consideration of God's grace in the life of Noah in regards to the time of the flood and the ark, you know there's something very important here that comes from God's grace, and it's this. The warning. The warning that God gives to Noah. Think about this. Where would Noah have been? What would have happened to Noah if God had never said in verse number 13 of chapter 6, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. You ever stop to think? God says, I'm going to destroy mankind. I'm going to destroy everything that I've created. Every living thing I'm going to destroy because of the wickedness of man, because of the sinfulness. Because I look and he says, it grieves me at his heart. And I see their wickedness continually. Thoughts of their heart are evil continually. God says, I'm going to destroy. But you want to know God's grace? God's grace to Noah was this. Noah, I'm giving you a warning. I'm going to destroy the earth. God gives Noah a warning. My friend, listen to me. Do you understand this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is first of all a warning to each and every soul and each and every individual? It's a warning. Just like the warning was given to Noah. The gospel, the message of the gospel, is a warning to every soul alive today. And the sad part is this, that the Bible says, just like in the days of Noah, it is today and it's going to be. They just eat and they drink and they give in marriage, and so many people don't hear, don't listen, and don't attend, and don't pay attention to the warning that is given. For when you read the Gospels, The warning is so clear. When you read the epistles in the New Testament, the warning is so clear. Paul writes so clear and so plain, and he says, we've all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ himself, in John chapter 3, if you'll turn to John chapter 3, please turn to John chapter 3 for a moment. How many times do we drive down the roads and we fail to observe the signs that are given on the side of the road? We say, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. And then we get to a place we've seen those signs so many times. Yield signs. Stop signs. And for whatever reason, we say, well, I can make it. You know, you come to the rotary down there in Salem. It says yield. Oh, I don't need to yield. You know, it seems like that rotary, whatever they call it, turnaround, turnabout. By the way, I heard someone say the other day, we've never had hurricanes in Connecticut until they put those roundabouts in. Or tornadoes. We never had tornadoes. It's all about those roundabouts. Because it's when those people get going faster and faster around, creates a disturbance in the air. We have tornadoes. That's the cause of all the tornadoes, folks, is roundabouts. But you know, when you come to that one down Salem, why is it that everybody assumes that when you're coming from Waterford up to Salem on Route 85, that those people have the right of way? Why? I mean, there's a yield sign at every point of entrance on that rotary. It says yield, and yet you come in this way, and everybody just flies right by that yield sign. They don't stop to think. You know how many times people fly by the warning that God gives? The warning that God gives. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We read verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We read that verse. We know that verse. We see that verse in football stadiums, baseball games, sporting events. People hold up the sign, John 3:16. You know, maybe we ought to hold up another sign a little higher. Maybe we ought to hold up a different verse reference, a little larger. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, that's a good one to hold up. But maybe we should first hold up John 3 and verse 18 and get people's attention. And maybe it would get our attention. Maybe it might get your attention. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There's the warning, folks. There's the warning that Jesus gives. He that believeth not is condemned already. Back in the days of Noah, the Lord said, I'm not going to strive with men. He says, 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man. But he says, in 120 years, there's going to be a flood. The Bible says over in 1 Peter, it was because of God's long suffering that he waited that long. For God is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Bible says, in a warning to mankind is this, you're condemned already. You've sinned against God. The judgment is fixed. You're condemned. There's the warning. There's the warning that's and where's that condemnation lead to? Wages of sin is death. And whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's book of life is going to be cast in a lake of fire. The first thing we see when we think of the account of Noah is God's grace in even warning Noah about what's going to happen. My friend, this morning, God once again this morning is showing you grace by allowing you to hear the warning, by allowing you to even hear the warning. And yet there'll be so many people that will just pass on by and ignore the warning. I mean, come on, folks. How many times have we gone to the doctor and the doctor's warned us something? Right? I could have a show of hands. How many times has the doctor warned you? How many times has the doctor warned me? Pastor Meter, you have a propensity for diverticulitis. Yeah, I hear you. Pastor Meter, you shouldn't be eating seeds, nuts. Nope, don't hear that. I see a box of cashews and it's mine. Salted peanuts, they're mine. And when I say they're mine, I mean they're mine. Warning. Warning. Not only did God give that warning to Noah, but Noah gave that warning to everybody else. And all of a sudden, one day, that warning came true. And my friend, one day, that warning that's given to you is going to come true. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But God's grace is not only seen, the consideration of God's grace is not only seen in the warning, but then it's seen in the word that the Lord speaks to, I almost said Moses, to Noah in chapter 6 and verse number 1. Because as a warning is given, then there's a word that's given, and it's a word of invitation. You know, God could have said to Noah, build the ark, build the ark, build the ark, and Noah could have built the ark, build the ark. But then in chapter 6, God gives a word of invitation. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. There's the grace of God again. The warning is given, but then a word of invitation is given. The warning is condemnation and judgment, and it's a sure thing it's going to happen. But then there's a word of invitation. Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. The same warning is given in the Gospels, folks. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus said it one night to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Jesus said it to the woman at the well. He told her to believe in him. Paul and Silas told it to Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus said it to Saul on the road to Damascus when he met him. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, I am so thankful. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah responded to the invitation the Lord gave and went into that ark. Paul said, "I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant." Paul writes to the Ephesians church in Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn there, Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul speaks so much about the grace of God and salvation in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." According to the riches of his grace. In chapter 2, he says this, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," there it is again, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace he is saved through faith. Oh, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And the first consideration in the story of Noah and the ark is the grace of God. God's warning was by his grace. God's warning to you and me this morning, God's warning to every person within the sound of my voice this morning, is it's his grace that he tells you, "You've sinned against me. Judgment is coming. But there's a way that you can be delivered. And that's through my son, Jesus Christ." That's why Paul writes and he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so the first thing we see is a consideration of God's grace. Noah hears the warning. He hears the word of invitation. And he gathers his family and they go into that ark. Verse 7, Noah went in of chapter 7, if you will. Noah went in as his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 10, came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Verse 16, they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was a breath of life, of all that were in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were in the ark, with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. The first thing we see is a consideration of God's grace. Folks, this is really the crux of the message. The next two points are a blessing, but this is where it all starts. This is where it all begins. If it were not for the grace of God, there'd be no hope of redemption, no hope of forgiveness, no hope, there'd be nothing. And Noah heard the warning of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that by faith, Noah, being warned of God, went into that ark to the saving of his family and to the judgment of the world. And it's God's grace that even gives us a warning. And it's God's grace that gives us a word of invitation to come unto Jesus Christ. Come unto Jesus Christ. But you know, the story doesn't stop there, does it? The story doesn't end there. And when a person hears the warning that they've sinned against God, and they realize that judgment is coming and condemnation is already upon them, and then they hear a word of invitation that they come to Jesus Christ because God sent his son to die for them because he loved them. God is rich in mercy. And that through his grace in Jesus Christ, they can be saved. And they respond. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But then Romans 5 continues on too. And then it says that being justified by faith, we have access by this same faith into the grace of God wherein we stand. The second thing I want you to see is the continuation of God's grace. Because so many times we focus on the grace of God that brings salvation to every man. But God's grace doesn't stop the moment you trust Jesus Christ. But God's grace continues every day after that in the life of the child of God. Sometimes we miss something in the story of Noah and the ark. We can read, we can read about, all those years that Noah was building the ark. We can read about the flood that it comes in 40 days, the flood waters are coming and they're in the ark. But look at chapter 7 and verse 24. Because the flood stops. The rains stop, folks. The waters that were broken up stop. And it says the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. I want you to notice something. Go back to chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now go to chapter 8. Go to chapter 8 and verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Do you understand this morning? Sometimes we miss this. Not only did, by God's grace, Noah get into the ark, but now that Noah is in the ark, folks, it wasn't just a week vacation. He wasn't on Carnival Cruise. He was in the ark for a year. A year. And you know what we see there? I'll tell you what we see. We see the continuation of God's grace in Noah's life. Just as we see the continuation of God's grace in our lives. For when a person comes to Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, and by God's grace they're saved, what a wonderful thing it is. So why am I not in heaven right now? Right? I got saved. Take me home, Lord. Right? I got saved as a young child. And life goes on and on. You ever stop to think what it was like in that ark for a whole year? Stop and think about it. Look at chapter 8 and verse number 1. God remembered Noah and every living thing. All the time that Noah was in that ark with his family, God remembered Noah. What do we read in Lamentations chapter 3? The mercies of God are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And when you read chapter 8, you can look at chapter 8. You can stop and consider that whole year. That whole year. I mean, just stop and consider. Because first of all, we see the faithfulness of God's grace. Let me tell you something, folks. God's grace is tied right in with the faithfulness of God. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Just as it says in chapter 8 and verse 1, God remembered Noah. God doesn't lose sight of you and he doesn't lose sight of me. He doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget me. Every day of my life as a child of God, God remembers me. God cares for me. God sees me. God provides for me. God takes care of me. I mean, stop and think about it. I mean, you go down to Nyanic, and over the last couple of years, there have been storms up in the north, and something we don't realize is that those storms in the north, the flooding in the north, has brought down a lot of debris into the ocean. Down by the boardwalk, there's a huge, huge dead tree, probably as wide as this building, pushed up on the shore, that floated down from somewhere, probably in Vermont. Now it's in the bay. I mean, the flood covered the earth. They're in an ark. Stop and think that everything that could have happened in that ark. What if it had sprung a leak? You see, the problem with being a boat is not being in the boat, but what if that boat gets a hole in it? You're out in the middle of the ocean with Nano and you don't have a bucket. What if the food had run out? You're on there for a year. One of the things I learned from Vern Tulsma a long time ago was this. Many times in the military, in the Navy, people look, they kind of look at the positions of people in the boat. I'll tell you who I would think very highly of if I were on a submarine. I would think very highly of the man that planned out all the food that was needed for that 6 months I was on that boat and made sure it was carefully stowed away. Because you know what? You get on that boat for 6 months. Can you imagine you wake up one morning somewhere out there in the middle of the Atlantic and you're so many miles down and all of a sudden you can be the greatest chief on a boat. But what happens if all of a sudden you're up there in that little tower there and you're telling everybody which direction to go and all of a sudden the guy down below that guy that's in the kitchen, whoops, we just ran out. You're in trouble. I don't care if you are the captain of the boat. You're dependent upon that man to make sure that all that food is in that boat so you can survive all the time you're under that water. You ever stop to think about the grace of God in the life of Noah and his family for that whole year? For that whole year as they went through that. Not only is God faithful in his grace, but God's grace is always full. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. And the second thing I want you to know is the continuation of God's grace. That as a child of God, God's grace will continue on in your life every day, whether you see it or not, whether you think about it or not, whether you realize how much you need it or not, because God is faithful. But there's one more thing. Go down to chapter 8 and verse number 15, because we can see the consideration of God's grace and the warning that God gives and the word of invitation that God gives. We can see the continuation of God's grace in that whole year. God's grace is tied to his faithfulness, and his grace is full. God supplies our every need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But then there's the completion of God's grace. For all of a sudden, after that whole year in that ark, after the flood has come and the flood has gone, and after finally they send a dove out, it finally returns. Verse number 13, it came to pass in the 601st year, first month, first day of the month, the waters are dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And then once again, we have God. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth out of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth of thee every living thing that is with thee. Verse 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. You know, so many times we see pictures on the front day of the newspaper, the New London Day. And one of the most, I guess, heartwarming pictures is when a submarine returns. And those guys come off that sub, those guys or ladies, whatever, sailors come off that sub. And all of a sudden there's a reunion on the shore. You know, this is what I see in verse number 15 and verse 7. That there's going to be a completion of God's grace. For the Bible tells us, the Bible tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Hope to the end. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see. When that dove goes off, returns with an olive branch, and then that dove goes off and never comes back. And the Lord says to Noah, go forth. The Bible says in chapter 9, God blessed Noah. Noah went forth out of that ark. I can't imagine what it was like when Noah put his foot on that ground for the first time after that flood. Reminds me of a story in the New Testament when Jesus, the Gospel of Mark, tells his disciples, wants you to get into the boat. We're going to go to the other side. There's a promise given. Folks, we've been given a promise of eternal life. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that promise is our hope. And our hope is sure. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But God is faithful. And His grace continues on. And it says, hope to the end. Hope to the end. That's why the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Our conversations in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, who's going to change us. And there's hope. The Bible says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. Those disciples in that boat. Jesus promised them. He says, get in the boat. We are going to the other side. I've read that verse so many times. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. This is the word of Jesus Christ. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. They get in the boat. And they're going along. And all of a sudden a storm comes up. And what's going to happen? We're perishing. And the Lord stands up, calms the storm, stills the wave, stills the winds. And in Mark, the next chapter in the verse, it says, and they made it to the other side. Folks, may I give you a glorious message? There's coming a day we're going to make it to the other side. There's coming a day when our feet are not going to walk upon floors. Our feet are not going to trudge through the mud or the dirt or the sand. There is coming a day when our feet are going to walk on streets of gold. And heaven is a reality. Just as Noah came out of that ark and he planted his foot on the ground. You imagine what he, man, the joy that must have filled his soul when his feet touched that ground. The joy that must have filled the souls of the Israelites when their feet touched that ground on the other side of the Red Sea. The joy that must have thrilled those disciples when they stepped out of that boat and their feet touched the other ground. Someone wrote a song. I can't remember the name of it. I can't read the details of it. All I can remember is one day we're going to be stepping on that shore of what it's going to be like. You know why? Go to the book of Jude, chapter 1. All because of the grace of God. Jude chapter 1. Well, Jude, the only chapter. Jude verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and look what it says, preserved in Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, they came into that ark by God's grace. They were sustained in that ark by God's grace. And they stepped out of that ark by God's grace. The only way to be saved is by the grace of God, folks. There's no other way. And God's grace that saves a person through Jesus Christ will sustain that same person all the days of their life. And one day, we're going to step from this earth into our home called heaven. What a day that's going to be, amen? All by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. Listen, when you read, and I encourage you to go home and read all about Noah. But don't miss this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This morning, I wonder. I wonder if there's someone here, you've heard about the grace of God. You've listened about the grace of God. But you've never experienced the grace of God. There's a warning that's given in the Gospels. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God's grace is extended to you this morning to trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. And I wonder if there's someone here this morning that needs to be saved. During the invitation time, you just bow your heart and say, God, I've sinned against you. I know it. I believe it. And I've heard the message of redemption through Jesus Christ, of salvation through Jesus Christ. And right now, dear God, please forgive me and save me. God's promised. He's promised. If you'll just as Noah just entered into that ark, Jesus is coming to me. And if you'll this morning, just this moment, pray and say, God, please, I know I've sinned. And I believe Jesus died for me. Please forgive me. Save my soul. God has promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And he'll do that for you this morning. And for us as Christians, don't ever lose sight of the grace of God. Because, oh, we depend so much upon the grace of God. And the grace of God will sustain you. And the grace of God will bring you safely home to heaven's shore. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray if there's someone here. Lord, if there's anybody here. That doesn't have the calm assurance from the Word of God that they're saved this morning. Oh, that right now they would pray. They would pray and say, Dear God, I know I've sinned. And I believe Jesus died for me and rose again from the grave. Please, I come unto thee, forgive me. Forgive me, save me this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to your word. You've said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thank you about the faithfulness and the fullness of your grace. And thank you for the future that we know by your grace through Jesus Christ that one day we'll be in your presence forevermore. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.